Today, Rearview Mirror says employment is fine, just don't look ahead. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and property news. Well, we're actually in a phony war at the moment, as the real effects of the Gulf War and the spike in fuel prices are yet to hit the rear-facing data as reported by the ABS and others. The forward-looking confidence data has crashed, of course, with consumer sentiment down, as reported by the Melbourne Institute and Westpac survey, actually down 12.5% to 80.1 points in April, as near-term expectations dropped back to 2022-2023 lows that were last seen during the post-COVID cost of living crisis. And Australia's inflation remains too high, and interest rates will need to be set to a level consistent with returning to the 2-3% target, according to Reserve Bank Deputy Governor Andrew Hawser, as a surge in energy prices tied to the Iran war sent consumer and business confidence tumbling. Remember, the RBA has been worrying about capacity constraints in the economy, which is code for needing to see higher unemployment to calm inflation. Actually, they were forecasting a rise to 4.6% even before the war started. Andrew Hawser told an event in New York that such a combination is a central bank's nightmare scenario. He signalled that rates may need to go higher as the board didn't have high confidence they're at the right level to restrict inflation. Jobs data, of course, is going to be crucial for the RBA, which delivered its second consecutive interest rate hike last month, and it had already been highlighting a strong inflationary impulse across the economy even before the Middle East conflict erupted. Policymakers are trying to plot a path to return inflation to the RBA's 2-3% target while maintaining a healthy labour market. Now, I note that Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey signalled that he was in no rush to raise interest rates, arguing that it was too soon to make a judgment on the economic impact of the war in Iran. He said in an interview with the BBC that the conflict is a very big energy shock, but added that the length of the war will be a key factor in the UK central bank's thinking on inflation. We're not going to rush to judgments on those things because there's a lot of uncertainty around this, he said on Wednesday. It's really too early to form strong judgments. The remarks suggest that the Bank of England believes it's too soon to consider raising interest rates at its next meeting on April the 30th, as the Monetary Policy Committee weighs the prospect of a resurgence in inflation against the hit to growth. At one point, markets were pricing in 4 rate hikes this year, Bailey said, and said that he thought, no, seriously, you're way ahead of yourself. Now, all of this is about the stagflation problem, where inflation is too high, so you would want, at least according to the gospel of central banks, raise rates to squeeze inflation out, while growth is anemic, requiring a cut in rates to stimulate growth, which is inflationary, so damned if you cut and damned if you don't. And indeed, we could see in the next few weeks the Treasury increasing taxes in Australia and the RBA increasing interest rates at the same time as the cost of living crisis peaks, probably markets become illiquid, oh, and fuel becomes scarce. Welcome to Stagflation City. Still, we should dive into the latest Australian unemployment data, which was released by the ABS today, with the note that the March 2026 labour force survey was run in the 2 weeks from Sunday the 1st of March to Saturday the 14th of March. That's right at the start of the conflict. Oh, and yes, the ABS, they say, are improving how they collect the labour force survey data so they can continue producing high quality labour force statistics and maintain strong response rates and provide a better experience for respondents and to run, they say, our business more efficiently, which is all code for currently the data is not great due to poor response rates and other factors, an issue which, by the way, we see across many statistical agencies across the world, all trying to measure employment accurately. They can't, and so we get wide swings month to month. All up, though, unemployment did hold steady in March as hirings persisted in the face of the shortways from the US-Israeli war in Iran. Employment advanced by 17,900 people, driven entirely by full-time roles, and the jobless rate held at 4.3%, seasonally adjusted, and also trend, which matched forecasts. The figures did reinforce, I think, the bank's view that the labour market remains relatively tight. The ABS said the number of employed people rose by 18,000 and the number of unemployed people fell by 4,000 in March. The unemployment rate remained steady at 4.3%, whilst the participation rate fell by 0.1 percentage points to 66.8%. Growth in employment was driven by full-time workers, which rose by 53,000 people in March. That was partly offset by a fall in part-time employment of 35,000 people. Full-time employment rose for both males and females, increasing by 29,000 and 24,000 respectively. Both the number of males and females working part-time fell this month, down 19,000 and 16,000 respectively. This month, people worked 9.2 million more hours, with full-time hours increasing by 7.1 million and part-time hours increasing by 2.1 million hours, and the 0.4% rise in full-time hours worked was supported by a 0.5% rise in the number of people employed part-time. Part-time hours worked rose 0.6% despite the 0.7% fall in part-time employment. All of this means that on average, a person working part-time worked 1.4% more hours in March than they did in February. Both trend employment and hours worked grew by 0.2% in March, and annually the number of hours worked grew faster at 2% than employment, which grew at 1.4%. Across the states, the trend unemployment rate was highest in Victoria at 4.7%, yes, the sixth state of Australia, I'm afraid, at the moment, followed by the NT at 4.6%, which is the same as Tasmania. New South Wales was at 4.2%. Western Australia was at 4.1%. The ACT was at 4%. Along with Queensland and South Australia, came in as the winner at 3.99%. The next RBA meeting is set for May the 5th, 1 week before the budget. Having already raised interest rates at its meeting in February and in March, the RBA board will face an even tougher choice for another rate rise to curb accelerating inflation despite rapidly slowing growth. Now, there is an economic pincer movement already underway, with the ACTU insisting it will demand higher wage increases than the 5% that it had proposed to the Fair Work Commission's annual review of lower-paid workers. And while Jim Chalmers likes to insist that Australia is better placed and better prepared than a number of other countries, that's relative to which countries, of course, poorer developing economies are certainly more vulnerable. And the Treasury will also meet plenty of aghast, apprehensive finance ministers at the G20 and the IMF meetings in Washington this week. But the return of Australia's high domestic inflation well before the Iranian war demonstrates fundamental problems in the national economy, despite the country's abundance of natural resources. And the unemployment rate so far is not going to worry the RBA in their quest to squeeze out inflation. That is the trouble, of course, when you are driving a car forward by looking in the rearview mirror, as you can't see what is ahead. And yes, in that scenario, accidents can and will happen. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.